Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Other Page Radio, Triad Veterans League Incorporated. We're here at WBCALP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. Wow. That's all I could say about this agency. Wow. As in Whittier Streets Community Health Center, we have the leader, we have the visionary, we have a woman who has taken community health and organized it and encouraged others to organize and bring about a change in the paradigm of community health in the city of Boston. Frederica M. Williams is my guest this afternoon. Welcome, President.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to get you to give us some of your time. I don't know where you get all that energy, but I'm telling you, boy, I went to that Black History event, and I want to thank you for the spirit.
Thank you.
You know, that was engendered through your leadership. I mean, you are something.
Yeah. We have a wonderful team. We have a wonderful team of caregivers, and you see them every single day. My colleagues make it happen.
I'm going to talk about the team, but right now I'm talking about you. Right now, you know, I'm talking about a woman who is so involved, President, and that's you. I mean, you know, I was trying to find something graphic to say to our listening audience, because you have shown through your faith in God and your ability to handle so many tasks. And it has always been something there that you wanted to repair.
Yes.
And you're doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
we just
look and we see hope when we look at the pharmacies that Whittier has, when we see the vehicles, when we see the response to crisis and situations, and we see health care coming out of Whittier, you know, and dealing with people that have not always been able to get the care that they're getting from Whittier. And I know that that can't be done any other way than a team. Yeah. And not only is it a team, but it's a team that believes in the leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We have a big vision for this community that we can be healthy, we can be leaders, we can build programs that are sustained. As you know, one of the programs you started working with me on in 2003, the Prison to Life program, is here. It's thriving. Mm-hmm. So it's not only just developing the programs, it's looking at the clinical outcomes, whether we're looking at diabetes or hypertension, or whether we're looking at social issues, our youth, our seniors, our vulnerable communities. We just launched a day program for the unhoused, where folks looked on people that were on mass incarcerated and thought that they were hopeless, but we saw that they were hopeful. And the team, and we have a beautiful day space where people are coming to be replenished, to be rebuilt, to be sustained. We come up with big programs, but you said something that's critical. I'm a servant leader, and I know that this is not a job. It's a ministry. It's a calling. And the smart thing that I do is I know who to look for as my source. And we lead by faith and not by fear. And so we take risk and go into those issues and those problems that people will see as problems. And we see them as opportunities to the extent that now that are solvable. And you don't have a whole lot of money to do it. It's just to have the will. And where there's a will, there's a way. And I've been blessed. We've gone through many challenges now, Brother Haywood, you know that. But we've stayed focused on our big vision to say in Roxbury, we can have centers of excellence that provide high quality care. You come to our beacon of hope on Tremont Street. Most people, we give them the address to our main site on 1290. They drive by and they can't believe it. So we have to call them and say, you just drove past the building. That is the legacy here. And it's whether it's our satellite clinic on Blue Hill Ave, whether it's our six mobile vans, but also we open clinics in schools. We have a primary care clinic at the Boston Day and Evening
Oh,
Academy.
now, all right now.
Yes,
Come on now. Come
we are the
on.
Boston Day and Evening Academy, an alternative school, a school where we're focused on medical care, but also focused on behavioral health. A lot of our children are going through this period of despair that was there before the pandemic and has been exacerbated, and we're there to give them hope. So the schools where we are, the Dearborn Academy, the Dudley Charter Initiative, the Boston Day and Evening Academy, the several schools that we're going to, Higginson Lewis schools, a lot of the BPS schools within our catchment area. We're also working with some of the Catholic schools,
Okay,
Cristo Rey, Mother Carolina. So we
President.
see our youth as the next future, and it's really a privilege. It's been a privilege, but we have a team.
Okay, President, let me just 617-427-1000. That's the number you can call for Whittier Street to get introduced to the services. If you don't know them, you should know them. What she's talking about is a miracle that's happening. But you got to believe in miracles. See, if you don't believe in miracles, it's not going to happen. And so in order for a miracle to happen, you have to have a conversation with God, because God is a miracle maker. I'm sitting here talking to you with this president, this lady, this human being that has been so important, so important. But it wasn't always like that.
No.
Okay, we want to talk about a growth. We want to talk about growth. We want to talk about, staying ahead of the game when it comes to healthcare. We got a lady here that's our guest that just told you about some things that she's doing. She's doing more than that now. She's, we're gonna find out more, and that's where the miracle comes in. You understand? That's where the prayer comes in. Because she's praying, I'm praying, and other people are praying because they see how God works. Whittier Street is the archetype. That's a BU word, by the way. I don't suppose to use
Oh, I know, I
BU
got
word.
it. Yes.
of leadership. Because when you're incarcerated, nobody cares about you. They forget about you. You don't have any hope because you're dealing with the Corey, and nobody's talking about that sad story. But I know that this president, this is our guest today, Frederica M. Williams, studied that system. She studied that system before she moved into the building that represents healing. And let me just tell you, not only did she study that situation, she didn't let not having the building that she has now stop her from thinking about how do we improve the community? How do we provide care for these men and women that are coming out of prison? And she did that. She showed people that were saying, why are you doing that? They're not worth it. Those people, some of them that went through that program, are longtime employees at Whittier Street Community Health Center,
What a gift.
despite the Corey.
What a gift.
Okay.
So it's good that you give that history because people look at us now again with a massive building on Tremont Street with a satellite clinic on Blue Hill Ave because we opened that satellite clinic when the old Rocks Camp closed. With all the fleet of vans, we have a shuttle that picks up patients and drops them off. We have mobile vans that provide medical care,
Hold up right
vaccinations.
there. Hold up right there. Folks, she said, we have a mobile van for healing. All right?
Several. Several.
We got several. And I witnessed the several. Because let me tell you something about Frederica. When she goes out, she goes out. But let me tell you this here, as a military man, I remember the tanks and all the other heavy equipment used for war.
Mm-hmm.
When you go by Whittier Street and see all those vans, those are war vehicles to restore health into the community.
Yes, yes. And when you also mentioned foresight, in the midst of the pandemic, Haywood, you know that how the team, we've gone through transitions, but the team that I have right now, I couldn't have asked for a better team. Everybody stepped out. We were doing testing, vaccinations, and out there. But in the midst of all of that, we said, we had a contracted pharmacy. And while people were in shutdown, we said we need to open our own retail pharmacy. Little did we know, 3-4 years from now, from then, Walgreens and CVS's will be closing.
Right.
So again, when you pray, God gives you the vision. This is not all coming from me. It's mm-hmm. coming from the, you know,
from the team.
Insights that, yeah, that are given to me, but the team and what they see out in the community. But most importantly, too, it's listening to the community and our patients.
Right.
We do community needs assessment. We ask people, how can we be helpful? How can we be an asset? And they told us. Mm-hmm. And now we have a retail pharmacy that is the state-of-the-art pharmacy. We have robots that are dispensing medication. But most importantly, some of those vans that you see are doing medication delivery to people's homes
right.
so that they can have the life-saving medications. We are able to participate in a federal program where we get drugs at a lower cost and right. we're able to pass that savings.
Okay.
You know, so, and again, the homeless program that we opened was again in the midst of the pandemic, as folks were walking out and looking at folks laying around on mass and cars, our brothers and sisters,
right.
God's children. We looked for a way. And I will tell you, people are coming in, they're dealing with their substance abuse, mental health, their housing issues, their food, they're getting connected to jobs. We also expanded our food pantry. I don't know if you've seen our food pantry that is on in the basement.
Yes.
It's serving hundreds of people a month.
Wait a minute. Now, let me just get these people before we take this break right quick, President.
Yeah.
617-427-1000, Whittier Street Community Health Center. They'll hook you up. We'll be right back. Our guest is the president of Whittier Street Community Health Center, Frederica M. Williams. We'll be right back. This is The Other Page Radio.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Are you a veteran, or do you know a veteran who is struggling with housing due to COVID-19? Veterans Inc. can help provide support services, including assistance with rent, deposits, utilities, as well as emergency housing, including hotel stays to eligible struggling veterans. If you or someone you know is in need of services, please call 1-800-482-2565 or go online to www.veteransinc.org.
Folks, this is The Other Page Radio, and it's brought to you by Triad Veterans League in association with BNN Media Services. And I just can't say enough about Whittier Street and the vision and the importance of the work that's being done under the leadership of Frederica M. Williams. I want to talk a little bit about the veterans and what we can expect from Whittier Street, and that is leadership.
Yes.
She has gone and made her facility available for care and services for our veterans, knowing the obstacles and the inadequacies of service provided by facilities that are supposed to take care of our veterans. And President, I want to thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And so thank you. And I also want to thank you for the friendship that you had with Elizabeth Williams.
Yes.
And making room for, thank you for your services. Because,
yes,
you know, Elizabeth Williams, she passed. Beth Williams, so a lot of her friends, the daughter of a veteran, Archie Williams, who was in the United States Navy. And these two women, four veterans, are four veterans. And when I say that, I mean they diagnosed the veteran situation, and they came up, man, with an understanding that they need to be included.
Yes.
You know, and so when you hear people, you know, government officials and saying that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, you can't do nothing if you don't believe in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You just can't take no money and put it on the table and think that money within itself is going to solve the problem. That's not how they roll over there at Whittier Street.
Yes,
they sit down as a team and fulfill the needs of the community, and that has to be recognized in more than just money.
Yes.
And so what they do now, they come to leadership called Whittier Street Community Health Center, and they ask them, what should we do?
Yes.
Are we doing the right thing? And they're not all stuck up, you know, like looking down their nose. No, they're looking at the problem.
Yes.
When you see the multiplicity of cultures that go to Whittier Street, boy, I'm telling you, she said, and you heard her talking about the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody was running around talking about racism. That's why they closed. No, that's not why they closed. They closed because people were not able to deal with their social conditions and were abusing substances and went in there and was stealing people's stuff.
Yes. Yes. Wow. True talk.
You know, and you got to understand, if you're in business, you're in business to make money.
Yes. Yes.
In Whittier Street, they don't work on that paradigm. Maybe some support will come in, but the needs of the people are always first and foremost. She said that in the basement, there is a food pantry. And I know she's no shortstop. I know that pantry's built up down there, and I know them people
absolutely
coming.
Absolutely, with culturally appropriate food. We're not giving you food from a menu that you don't know.
Right.
But also, we're making sure that people have access to healthy foods, and they live here with bags and bags of foods. And again, people are not looking for handouts or for hand-me-downs. We all have periods, and I was trying to explain to people who comes to our food pantry. It's people who, for health issues, have disabilities, and so it's impacted their ability to work, whether it's a mental health disability or arthritis or a physical disability. So you're on limited income. Have you seen the cost of food these days?
Mm.
We are able to treat you in a dignified way.
Right.
You don't have to go stand in line outside a food pantry. The reason we have a separate entrance for the food pantry is so people can come through and be separated from the front entrance. Also, you're right, your Uber driver, who's not on a steady income, your barbershop, your mother, who has a couple of children, or anybody who wants access to food, as long as you have a need. When we first started, it was only open to our patient, and believing that if you open it, when you're generous, good things come. We've opened it up to all people who have a need.
Mm-hmm.
So people can just show up at the front desk and tell the security, I want to be served at the food pantry, and they'll escort you downstairs.
Let me tell y'all something about Whittier Street, see, because you don't understand. You don't understand. Until you go there and sign up for the care that you know you need, that you're not going to get any place but Whittier Street. She's talking about preparing food for people that are in need of food. But let me tell you, I seen families.
Yes.
I didn't know these people, but, you know, you got to look like your mama and your daddy for them to be your daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mama. Or this got to look like you to be your sister or brother. I seen families go there.
Yeah.
You know, for treatment.
Yes.
And when you take your whole family for care and treatment, that says something about the caliber of professionalism and care that is being given at a place called Whittier Street Community Health Center.
Yes. Yes. And can we also touch on the honor and the privilege to serve veterans? I've learned so much from you in the more than 25 years, really about the issues and what also, you know, impacts us. Our veterans have served us. The minimum we can do is to say thank you and to help to connect to care, whether it's dealing with behavioral health issues, housing, been a major, major issue that I know that you're an advocate for. The type of care, we make sure that, talk about our doctors. We have Black male doctors. We have Black female doctors. We have staff who speak different languages, whether it's Haitian Creole, whether it's Spanish,
Arabic.
We have 25 different languages spoken here, and each of the staff take the time to understand you as an individual so that we can address your individual needs as well as address the family dynamics, whether we're looking at behavioral health or substance or physical medical care. So we are very, very passionate because unfortunately, whether you're looking at the homeless, whether you're looking at the folks in the criminal justice system, people have been criminalized for their mental health. People have been criminalized for their substance use disorder instead of dealing with these as diseases. So I've learned so much from when we talk about developing these programs, I go to the source, whether it's going to mass incarceration and talking to people so I can understand firsthand. So that when we're creating programs, it's not an academic exercise.
Right.
It's one that is rooted in reality. You and I have gone to the prisons many, many times, whether it's the South Bay House of Corrections or going to Dedham or going to Quincy. Anywhere where our Boston residents are and disconnected to care, we have a team that goes out there and connects with them. It's good. We go to all of the public housing developments to understand the needs of the residents. When you speak with people and engage them and really create programs that meet their needs, whether it's our diabetes program, hypertension, we have a remote program now where we're giving people iPads that have diabetes and hypertension so that they can manage their care and send the data to us electronically. These iPads, the whole tool, it could be $1,000. We got a grant to cover that, and we're providing it for free. We are also going to start doing genetic testing around kidney health, around breast cancer. So we are at the forefront of major issues, but really the reason we're successful is because we are community-led, community-driven, community-informed, community-empowered organization.
So this is our guest speaking. And I'm going to tell you something. This lady is a mother who understands motherhood. And the care that these mothers and mothers-to-be are getting over at Whittier Street is nonpareil. Nonpareil means second to none.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you go into Whittier Street, the first thing you're going to get is respect. That's the first thing you're going to get. You're going to get respect. Not just from when you go in to the security desk to ask a question, but throughout Whittier Street, you're going to be respected. We're going to be right back. This is The Other Page Radio, WBCALP, 102.9 FM Boston. Boston Community Radio Station. This program is being brought to you by Triad Veterans League in association with BNN Media Services. We'll be right back, folks. We don't want you to go nowhere.
The Oscar Michonne Family Theater Program Company welcomes those seeking to learn about theater and performance. We offer classes that bring out your talent and improve it. Want to get involved in theater production, acting, or singing? Then you can visit our website at theomtc.com. That's theomtc.com.
Are you a veteran, or do you know a veteran who is struggling with housing due to COVID-19? Veterans Inc. can help provide support services, including assistance with rent, deposits, utilities, as well as emergency housing, including hotel stays, to eligible struggling veterans. If you or someone you know is in need of services, please call 1-800-482-2565 or go online to www.veteransinc.org.
This is the Other Page Radio, sponsored by Triad Veterans League. My name is Heywood Fennell, Senior. I'm a veteran, but I just want to share a couple of things with you before we get back with our guest, President of Whittier Street Community Health Center, Frederick M. Williams. You know, I haven't always been advocating for veterans based on my experience of 6 years in the United States Military Army. But then God has a way of showing you a way to better serve him and get things done. I've been advocating for veterans for the last 25 years, and I'm not going to stop now. I don't want to be on any committee. I just want the committee to take care of the veterans like the veterans took care of them. When you raise your hand and take an oath that you're going to serve your country no matter what the order is, you got to respect that. A lot of veterans came back from assigned duties outside of the United States of America during the wartime, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, Middle East, Afghanistan, and are still being threatened. Those that went in the military, a lot of them, came back no longer bright-eyed, but dull eyes that looked like fish on the ice in the fish market, dull and dead. Many of them were substance abusers. And substance abuse was a situation at one time when you were given a bad conduct discharge. But then when the National Association of Psychiatrists came about with a diagnosis that says that substance abuse is treatable, then the government had to reverse the bad conduct discharges and give them honorable discharges based on their inability to deal with black people. And we had a situation of systemic racism and people not being able to cope and people being given a diagnosis of PTSD. I want to thank Whittier Street for making their facilities available to help our veterans and for our veterans to eventually help themselves. I'm one of them.
Yes.
I'm not going to give up the fight because the governor says that $20 million has been provided to deal with homeless people, because I know that $20 million is not enough money. Because when you sit down with them consultants, that $20 million, it won't look like $20 million when you start the actual plan. I'm saying that we need more money. I'm saying that we need a veterans multipurpose with wraparound services right in Roxbury, right in our community, because this is where we live. We should not have to go to Chelsea or some other place that's outside our district where we're not welcome all the time and get services. Give services in our community, and for the people that have been supporting that particular strategy, as has been the case of Whittier Street Community Health Center, we thank you. But we also want you to know that we need your support, and we hope to hear from you. If you have any questions about veterans and services and what you could do, 857-204-5312. 857-204-5312. That's for you. Now, back to our guest today. Frederica M. Williams is a woman who came to this country on a mission. I believe that wherever she went, God had picked her to do the things that she's doing in this city. And I'm hoping and I'm knowing that there are people now in this city that are running programs that deal with health that try to emulate the strategies that this lady has put in place to help our community heal itself. Thank you, President.
As I said, it has been wonderful. It's been an honor and a blessing, and it's a calling. I believe that it is. It's not a job. because the programs and services that we have been able to create and sustain. Because what typically happens to many of us is that we get a grant funding, we start a program, the funding ends, the program ends. That does not build trust. The reason people see us as a constant beacon of hope is our decisions and our strategies. While money is important, because we have to pay our staff, we have right. to buy resources and supply.
Okay.
But that for us, when you and I started the prison release program, a lot of the folks that I called to be at the table, they asked me, do you have a grant? I said, no, but we have a vision. We have a vision and
sure
we have
did.
A belief that we can make a difference.
Sure did.
And, you know, people were not interested, but 21 years later, that program, as you said, is strong. Many of the folks that we recruited to the program themselves are now health ambassadors, they're case managers, they're supervisors, and they are serving as role models, not only for those who are incarcerated, but also for our youth and helping to guide them. Youth development is critical because it's one thing for me to have had a long 22-year history of being the Whittier CEO, but also other brown and black kids, boys and girls, should look to me and say, if she can do it, I can do better.
Yes.
Representation matters. That's part of why I chose to be in this community, to be a role model for my Whittier children, but and also for my family, and to see that we can build programs with or without funding, sustain it, but it's the quality of the programs. When we tell patients that we are open at 8 o'clock, we have to be reliable. We have to be accessible. The care has to be high quality. The staff have to be respectful. Everybody that walks through this door is treated with dignity and respect. And most importantly, no one is denied care because they do not have insurance or the ability to pay for services.
I got to step in right there, President. I got to step in. I got to step in because I'm telling you, the people that are on your team on every level,
yes,
professional doctors, all of them have realized that there is an opportunity that they would not have gotten at another facility like Whittier Street is operating and being administered. This facility that you have made so important in our lives was in a place, and then it was in another place, and then, you know, you built this building, and I'm sure that there were a lot of discouraging words and people trying to keep you from fulfilling that which the Lord has decided that he wanted you to do. And I wanted them people out there that want to do things to just remember you and your team and how you conduct yourself in a caring manner. So you got some people that don't understand what a caring manner is. I watched you with the Black History situation feeding everybody. You could have said to the to your staff, y'all take care of them. I'm going to go up in my office. No.
Oh, no.
You was right there the whole
time. I'm serving
time.
The food. They're my guests. I'm serving the food. Whether it's the senior events, whenever I host any of our community events, the staff get annoyed with me. Because they will say, Federica, we'll serve the food. I've said, no, these are my things. I am serving the food. Think of that community member. Think of that youth. Think of that person that's looking. I'm showing you respect. I'm not doing it for recognition.
Right,
or for
right.
To say, to look at it. But also, I'm teaching the young people, when you are a leader, you have to be humble. You have to treat people with dignity and respect. In this organization, and you know we've had the issue, we don't have the doctors up here and the other people here. We are a team. We could not function without the drivers, the security guards, the cleaners. They are as important as the CEO because we all work as a team. And so when I'm having employee events, I serve them too. Because that's my way to say thank you. When I have community events, I serve them too. Because I'm here to be of service.
Right. And President, I got to get to this right here because I came over there to get my shots again.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I remember that. I remember that. But there's so much questioning now about the high rates of deaths in our community that's associated with the pandemic, the COVID-19 virus.
Yes.
What are you seeing in terms of protection, reduction, or, you know, what is your comment on that?
Well, fortunately, when the new year started right after the holiday season, we began to see a spike in the positive COVID. And so we went back to masking like most most healthcare organizations. And we've been forceful. If you will recall, the commissioner, the head of the CDC came to visit us in October.
Yes, yes.
Kick up a fall campaign. And again, it's the leadership that we've taken in the community. We just got an award from the federal government for being a leader in COVID vaccinations all through the pandemic. We haven't stopped. So we started knowing that Thanksgiving 2023 was coming up, Christmas was coming up. We launched our fall vaccination in the first week of October, and we've been out there vaccinating people. Whether you come to the first floor, second floor, or third floor, there's someone there to give you a COVID vaccine. So we've seen the positive test declining, but that's not to say that COVID has gone away. We're still seeing people that are testing positive for COVID. So we are still encouraging people to take their flu vaccines and their COVID vaccines. We're actually going to be doing a program in the community for pregnant mothers. Wherever we go, we have a team that's vaccinating because that is so critical. I know that there was a level of mistrust around the vaccine when it first came out, but you and community members and faith leaders and community members helped to educate us on what those trust issues are so that we could then help to educate them on why the vaccine is important. We were not dismissing them and saying, oh, you know, you should believe us. We wanted to hear their concerns because it helped us in how we educated people. So we're still doing that. We're still doing that. Some people think COVID is behind us. We're still doing that.
Okay.
You mentioned the Army. We've always been ready for war.
Right.
So that when the pandemic broke, we were battle ready. And not battle won. We were ready to go. And that's how we operate. We are always ready for crisis because we believe we were made for crisis. And we see crisis as an opportunity to A, show that minority leaders can lead and run good programs, but that we can also put the community's interest first, not our self-interest.
And I think it's very important that you said that because a lot of people need to go to Whittier Street. I mean, just let's face it, right? When you go into Whittier Street and you get taken care of, your process starts, you leave Whittier Street with a different kind of understanding of what community health delivery is all about, what the service is, what it has to be if you're going to heal. Whittier Street has proven over the years that they care about the community. And there's people, you know, in far places or close places or in between spaces that now understand why they find themselves in Whittier Street.
Yes.
Because of the service. I said it was nonpareil. Top shelf. Top shelf. When you go to a place, she didn't say nothing about, you know, where they got the conditioner down there, helping you with your body. You know, she talked about the food. But more important, it's all indicative of the spirit of the care that they is delivering at Whittier Street Community Health Center, 617-427-1000. My guest today is the president. I mean a leader. I mean a woman that has taken the community in her heart, and the staff and the team that comes there see what she is doing and want to be involved because she's healing the community, folks. She just told you about the Blue Hill Avenue situation right there on Quincy and Blue Hill, place right down the street on Tremont Street, right there in the main building. There's another pharmacy. That's belief in community. She believes in her people. She didn't say, oh, one is enough. Oh, no.
But also going into the schools.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Need support going to the different school. We have a full-time nurse practitioner that is based at the Boston Day and Evening Academy and a full-time therapist that is there. Then for the schools that we rotate, we go to Dearborn STEM Academy. We go to the Dudley Charter Initiative. We go to the Higgins St. Louis School. We go to the Epiphany School, which, by the way, is recruiting, the Epiphany School in Dorchester. We go to Crystal Ray. We go to Mother Carolina. So we rotate. But for the Boston Day and Evening Academy, because that alternative school needs our support, and every single day, anytime I visit, it is such a gift. The teachers, the students, the parents that are there, that really it's critical to have the services there. And the nurse practitioner is embedded. We could have put somebody on the phone, but we needed someone to be inside the school to understand the students, interact with the the teachers and the guidance counselors and the school nurses. So they can do these curbside consultations and say, you know, Federica is going through so-and-so. What do you think? And, and having that relationship. So we are about compassionate care wherever we are. It's not about growth. It's not about competing with anyone. It's doing what we believe is in the best interest in the community. And we're seeing the results.
And let me show you something. Let me interject some here. We're wrapping down, we're running down now, but let me just tell you something. You hit it on the head, President, when you mentioned the families that see the staff from Whittier Street in these places of learning. Because they don't feel that way a lot of times about where their kids are in the public schools. You know, but when they see people coming out of Whittier Street, some of them parents themselves, maybe some not, but they have that pattern of caring that is so a part of Whittier Street Community Health Center. You know, and you can't beat that with a boom.
This
strategy that you have put in place, the after-school programming, I've been over there to Whittier Street a couple of times and seen the youth development process going on and all them young men and women up in there, you know, sitting around and talking to each other. And it's like a harm reduction. It's like mentoring. It's like a conflict resolution. I think that's the part it impressed me because I didn't feel any anger. You know, I didn't see any anger. And that comes from you and your staff living in the manner that you live in. So you can't fake this here care about health. Once you go into Whittier Street, you're going to get touched up. You're going to get touched up. I got another couple announcements before we close out here and thank the president. But I wanted to talk about the Triad Veterans League plans for our theater program and our CUDA Literacy Enhancement Program. We've been talking to some folks, President, you know some of them, about this summer. Bringing in the CUDA Literacy Enhancement a pilot project that deals with how we communicate without using racial and ethnic slurs.
We're gonna
bring that out. You know, we're going to be talking to people that we want to get involved because our kids don't know how to communicate. They say all kinds of stuff out of their mouth, and they think it's acceptable. So we want to show them how to read and learn. We want to show you how to read and how to learn, you know, and then we want to tell you how to talk to people, you know, how to talk to Irish, how to talk to Puerto Ricans, how to talk to Black people. Some of that stuff they be saying, and it's in the home, it's unacceptable. So we're going to be working on that. We want to also take this opportunity to say to our veterans, you know, we care about you.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We care about your family.
Yes.
You know, don't give up because you don't see it right now. But you got to have the faith, like this leader that we have on our guest today, Farika M. Williams. I mean, she didn't see it all at one time, but she knew that God saw it and using her to make sure others see it.
Yes, yes.
That's where Whittier Street Community Health is.
But you too, though, you've been a selfless, constant voice. When I read your emails, you are that lone voice in the wilderness that is giving us hope, and you will not go away. So, I mean, the veterans should look at you. I chuckle, I brag about your emails. I said, when Haywood is on an issue, which you are with Triad Vets, which you are with the Coda Literacy Program, education is power.
Yes.
Education is power, and we support those two issues. But you have many times been that lone voice. Mm-hmm. You've been the conscience of the community. You challenge issues, and we hold you in high regards for mm-hmm. all of the issues you believe in. We have that shared vision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and the community and the veterans and the youth can always, always count on our support in yeah. whatever you are leading. So we're grateful to you as well.
Let me just say something, what you just said, President, about power and empowering.
Yes.
When I go back and I look at me, I being a part of Whittier's development around men's health, and
yes.
I look on my wall and I see the plaque that you gave me, I see the encouragement that you gave me and still give. But what I see or what I saw just a few minutes ago was those young brothers and sisters that was up in Dudley Station, Nubian Square,
yes.
and talking to people about their health and about Whittier being available to help them, were men and women who had been incarcerated and had been trained and empowered to go into the community with the message from Whittier Street Community Health Center.
Yes, yeah. We call it lived experiences. It's dignified when we hire them and equip them, train them and equip them and pay them so yeah. that they too can take care of themselves.
Earn a living and pay their own rent and not wait yes, or try to be disabled.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, but also when they're talking to the others who are going through their period, that presents hope for them.
Right.
I can talk to them and make them hopeful, but I've not walked in their shoes.
Mm-mm.
Our employees have walked in their shoes. And they found in us a place that believes in them. I'm hoping there are many more, whether it's for our veterans, our youth, or those who are out there just looking for an opportunity. And I tell you, they make the best employees.
Mm-hmm.
They make mm-hmm. the best ambassadors for us in the community because they know that they've been there and they've turned their lives around and others can do the same.
So let me just close out with this right here, you know, because yes. it's very important that we understand that you don't only talk to people in Whittier, people in our community, some leaders, some not leaders, some needing to be led,
mm-hmm.
and in high places and needed to be led. And you have these conversations and you're representing your community and you're saying things to help bridge a gap, understanding, compassion, a woman, a leader. And I just want to just say right here on this particular program that we are so grateful to God that you can go into those places and present and be heard with outcomes that are favorable to our community. Everybody cannot do that because everybody does not know God, and you know God.
Yes, thank you.
And we thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
Being a part of this program, because we wanted our community to hear from you.
Thank you.
And we have other team members from Whittier who express well what they're doing.
Yes.
But the only way that they could do that, the only way, like the last guest was Mr. Martinez.
Yes, yes.
And he was really on top.
Yes.
But he had to talk to you. And you had to talk to God.
Yes.
And so we got a message that's out there in the community. Yes. President.
He's a pastor, too. He's a pastor as well. So we thank the community. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege to be of service to you. And we thank you for your leadership as well and your friendship.
Thank you.
And support.
We want to thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll be looking for hear more about what's going on.
Yes,
617-427-1000. Get some treatment up there. We got the schools, we got the health care in abundance, we got food, and we got everything to make you healthy. Thank you so much, President. God bless you, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye.